Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A relatively calm 2018 and 2019 has some South Dakotans less aware of the risk of wildfires in the Black Hills in the western part of the state. As we head into a hot July, what is the wildfire outlook for 2020? Today we welcome Darren Klebo to the program. He is a research scientist at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and the state's fire meteorologist. Dr. Klebo, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me again.
All right, we're heading into July. June has sort of wrapped up, and we're going to focus on this western part of the state for July. And let's go back a little bit, because we have to think about those months that we consider to be pretty rainy and wet, earlier in April, for example. And what has been leading up to this moment as we look at July?
You know, we're kind of entering the summer in a tough position. You know, let's go back to 2018 and 2019. You know, it was two of the least active wildfire seasons we've had in western South Dakota in recent memory. And those two back-to-back years were actually two of the wettest years that we've had in the history of South Dakota. So very, very wet conditions. What that did allow is it allowed for a lot of grass growth. That grass growth is now kind of this dead grass layer thatch that's down kind of near the soil surface below the green grass that we have growing up this year. And so we kind of have this we're setting the stage for a fire season because we do have that additional fuel that's down below. You know, coming into 2020, we were optimistic that we were going to have at least average rainfalls during our spring and early summer months. And I should remind everybody that April, May, June, and July are our four wettest months of the year. And so when we look ahead to try to figure out what the wildfire potential is going to be, those are key months for us to look at across western South Dakota. But we haven't seen those rains materialize across basically the western third of the state, including kind of north central, northwestern South Dakota, and obviously the Black Hills. We're really looking at anywhere between 40% and 80% of our average precipitation since the start of April. So it's been really, really dry. The precip that we have gotten is something like we got yesterday across the Black Hills. Basically, we get these supercells that come through, dumps a lot of rain very, very quickly, comes with hail, and they move on. We haven't seen that good soaking moisture that we typically would get during the late spring and early summer months.
Yeah. Does most of that just run off then and is, for those purposes, not less useful?
Very much so. You know, if we could get 1 inch of rain spread out over a week, it allows the fuels to absorb a lot more of that moisture, and then they're not receptive to carrying fire. If we get 1 inch of rain in 1 hour, most of that precipitation runs off, and it's not able to get within the fuel matrix to do any good from a wildfire perspective.
Now, I haven't been looking at temperatures in the western part of the state as often as I have in the eastern part of the state because it's been really hot over here,
yeah.
And it got really hot really early. What have the temperatures been like in the western part of the state in the Black Hills region, and why does that matter?
Well, over the past 60 days, and this has really been kind of our saving grace, is temperatures have been below average. At least they were in April and May. And so when you have below average temperatures, that really leads to less evaporative demand. And so you're not pulling as much moisture out of both the soils and out of the grasses and vegetation as you would be if the temperatures were much, much warmer. So although we've been drier, the temperatures have been lower, and so that evaporative demand has been less. And so we really haven't been seeing the effects of the dryness like you think we would be. But since really the start of June, our temperatures have been above average, and actually the first 2 weeks of June were exceptionally windy across the western half of the state, actually across all of the northern Great Plains, and that's really led to more evaporative demand, and we're starting to notice that in the vegetation. The moisture loss is great. We're seeing you know, definite changes in the soil moisture anomalies that we're seeing subsurface, and we're really seeing the effects of both the hot weather now combined with the dry conditions that we've had over the past, you know, 60 to 90 days.
All right, for fun, let's talk more about evaporative demand. Like, how do you explain that to, you know, a second grade class or something as it relates to wildfires?
Well, you know, I always relate it back to sweat. You know, when you go outside and you work out, and it's a cool day, you're sweating, and that evaporation, though, you might not feel it get removed from your skin as much. But if you go outside on a day where it's 92 degrees and very, very dry, you don't notice you're sweating that much, and because that sweat's really evaporating off of you very, very quickly. Well, your body is just like the plant material that's out there. Plants are releasing moisture as they go through photosynthesis, and if the temperatures are much, much hotter, that moisture gets pulled out a lot quicker, and it's something we just call evaporative demand. What is the demand on the plants and the vegetation out there that's really maybe causing them to stress or causing them to cure earlier than what they would normally do?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about fuels. You mentioned that that thatch and that grass growth, and you know the wetness, the relative wetness of the previous 2 years. What else are we seeing, you know, in this area that maybe has a little bit of cause for concern about the wildfire outlook?
Well, I think right now it's situational awareness. You know, we just haven't had a wildfire season in a couple of years. You know, the past 2 years, I think statewide, we've burned, last year was maybe 6,000 acres. The year before that was 4,000 acres. And on average, we burned somewhere between 40,000 and 60,000 acres statewide. And so the situational awareness side of things, we're maybe not as ready coming into this fire season as we have been in years prior, just because we don't have that kind of institutional memory. And then this drought, and we are in a drought across western South Dakota. It's hit very, very fast. It's kind of what we call a flash drought. These conditions had a very quick onset. And so it's just making sure that all of our partners are aware of the conditions that are around us. You know, you're maybe looking out across the field and that grass isn't nearly as green as it was. It's starting to turn yellow. And we're just really trying to make sure all our wildfire partners across the state and across the northern Great Plains are aware of the developing situation in the Black Hills and the surrounding prairies.
Yeah. What are we seeing for the next 1 to 2 weeks? What are we thinking that's right in front of us?
Right in front of us, it's looking hot. Today is much above average temperatures across western South Dakota. You know, central and eastern South Dakota, exceptionally humid. I think there's heat advisories out. But western South Dakota, those dew points, the actual amount of moisture in the air is lower. And so it's more of a dry heat in western South Dakota. Tomorrow will be a little bit of a cool off. But then looking out Wednesday through the next 10 to 14 days, it's virtually the same thing every day. Above average temperatures, a slight chance of maybe a thunderstorm coming off of the Black Hills, but not a lot of widespread rain. The big thing that we're looking at right now is we've had the precipitation deficits, but we haven't had this kind of extreme heat. You know, when we get up into 10 to 15 degrees above average, up into the mid 90s to near 100, and that's the outlook we're looking at over the next 10 to 14 days. It's looking like hot conditions, and so that just kind of continues to load the gun, if you will, in terms of our wildfire potential going into July.
Yeah. All right. Further than that, is it too soon to tell? Like how far out can you look as far as, you know, the drought outlook or what we might have ahead of us the rest of the summer?
You know, we're cautiously optimistic that we'll start to return back to more of average precipitation, but because we've seen those deficits already in the wettest time of the year, even average precipitation is not really going to help us kind of climb out of the hole that we're already in. And so going forward into late July, into August, early September, the forecasts kind of go either way with respect to precipitation, but temperatures, there's a very strong signal of above average temperatures going through the next 2 months, even 2 to 3 months. And again, that goes back to this idea of evaporation and evaporative demand. Those hot temperatures are really going to allow the moisture to get pulled out of the fuels and dry things out quite considerably. So there is concern going into the summer months, but again, I keep trying to spread the message that we are in this situation, and really it's across the northern Great Plains, kind of west of the Missouri River. You know, eastern South Dakota's had a lot of precipitation lately, but we just want to make sure that everyone's kind of ready for the potential wildfire season that we could have this summer across our half of the state.
Yeah. Do you keep an eye on a nationwide forecast? You know, all of us remember fires in California and just some of the really desperate conditions communities and forests were in. Do you have a sense of whether or not that's going to be making national news again?
Yes, we do have a pretty good sense of it. And actually, I just got back late last week. I was down working a wildfire in southern Colorado. And south half of Colorado, western slopes of Colorado are very, very dry. They're in significant extreme drought conditions. And the fire potential is really big down in Colorado right now. I know there's a bunch of new starts that they got this weekend from some lightning. So, you know, kind of the Rocky Mountain region itself, Colorado, southwestern Wyoming is definitely ramping up. And then as we go forward more into late summer, early fall, it's really looking like Northern California, Oregon, Washington, you know, the panhandle of Idaho, there's some very high wildfire potential up in that area. And so that's kind of the two primary areas of concern that we're looking at nationally, you know, the Four Corners area into the western Colorado and then up through Northern California and into the Pacific Northwest, I think are going to be the hot spots for wildfires going into the next 2 months.
Yeah. Coming back closer to home, are there any lessons from the Mine Draw fire or what we've already seen this season? Are we learning anything when something kind of happens like that that is useful for the season and for people as a whole?
You know, every single ignition that's out there, you learn something from. And I think the biggest thing that we can take away from the fires that we've seen over the past week is that we've had a lot of lightning-started fires, which we didn't have 2-3 weeks ago. And so things are starting to dry out. Things are becoming more receptive to those ignition sources. And then they start to burn a little bit longer where people will notice a single tree that got hit by lightning that is on fire, whereas 3 weeks ago, maybe that fire would have self-extinguished. And so, you know, you start to see the ramp up of wildfire activity, and it just really lets everybody know that the fuels are now becoming receptive to taking those ignition sources, to carrying fire. And looking at the weather conditions going forward in the next couple of weeks, you put two and two together, and it starts to kind of paint a picture of higher fire potential across the Black Hills region.
Yeah, and this is a good time for us to do some of that public service announcement stuff that we do, and for people who have lived here a long time, we're like, yeah, we know, but it's a good reminder. Let's talk to visitors in just a moment to the state who are driving across the state and listening to SDPB on their radios, but first let's talk about people who live in the Black Hills. What are some of the things that you really ought to be doing that maybe you've been a little careless about lately because you didn't think it was as big of a problem to reduce the risk of fires in your property and to, you know, help protect property and lives and firefighters?
Well, take care of what's yours first. You know, if you have wood piles next to your home, or you have juniper trees growing up next to your home, or tall grass in your pastures, you know, try to mitigate those things that could directly impact your property. And the thing is when everybody takes personal responsibility to mitigating those issues, if one house does it and their neighbors do it, now all of a sudden you've grown to a neighborhood-scale defensible space. And that's really critical in order to stop large wildfires from getting into, you know, more populated areas, is if everybody has that mission, that personal responsibility to take care of their own properties, you're really helping out the larger community. And so, you know, and obviously if we got people coming in from out of state into western South Dakota, it's just the messaging at this point. You know, we are seeing dry conditions. You know, the grass isn't all brown out here, but with the amount of dead grass and thatch that we have, the fuels that are out there will carry fire right now. And so if people are coming in from out of state or even from the eastern side of the state where we've had a lot of wet conditions over the past 30 days, you know, just recognizing that we're in a different situation in the Black Hills and the surrounding prairies, and to be cognizant of what they're doing in terms of being safe with campfires, not having any open fires in the Black Hills Forest Fire Protection District, just being careful with those sources of ignitions.
Yeah. Are there surprise sources of ignitions or sparks that you want to warn people of, or is it really the obvious stuff, cigarettes and campfires and things like that?
You know, there are some sleeper things out there. A lot of our wildfires get started on the sides of highways from bearings that go out in trailers or from folks that are dragging chains. You know, but I think most of it's the fairly common, the fairly obvious stuff, and that's the low hanging fruit. Those are the easiest things to take care of. But just look around, be aware of what you're doing. You know, and I think most of the people that come out here to visit are very smart people. They're very aware people, and you know, they want to be able to come back to the Black Hills year after year, and they don't want to see fire out here. And so I hope that everybody's going to be maintaining a good job, that they're being vigilant and not being a source of ignition themselves. And that actually brings me to another point. In June, July, August, and September in the Black Hills, over 50% of our fires are actually started by lightning. But that means that in those months in the Black Hills, that 40 to 50% of the fires are still caused by humans. And so let's take the initiative to lower that percentage way down.
Darren Klebo is a research scientist at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and the state's fire meteorologist. Come back anytime for updates, Dr. Klebo. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate having this conversation with you.